I'm joined on the program now by our next guest, Kevin Broaden. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thanks for taking the call. I think you've a wee bit of a cold, so we
I do indeed.
We do appreciate you taking it, taking the call. Now, the siege of Jadotville. You're the screenwriter on this project. Did you expect it to be as well received as it was?
I suppose we were, you know, you'd always hope that something would be this well received because the underlying story itself is so interesting. Not necessarily anything to do with me kind of writing or producing it, but just because, you know, these men did such an amazing thing in terms of, as a Virgin Army, never been under fire before, holding out for 5 days against, you know, odds that were, you know, a factor of 20 against them. And then kind of being treated so badly when they came back. To me, that's kind of just the stuff of drama, you know.
For those for those of us who don't understand the process, the screenwriter, what you've adapted that, or how does that all that work, Kevin?
It's based on a book by Declan Powers, who wrote a very good kind of journalistic account of the battle itself. And so I researched his book, and then I did a good bit of research myself. And what it's really about, I suppose, is placing things in the order that makes them interesting, and finding characters that represent the themes for me in the film. And for me, the big theme was the difference between strategy and tactics. Being that strategy is what politicians use and tactics is what soldiers use. Mm. And the strategy was represented by Conor Cruz O'Brien in that he was leading the UN mission to the Congo. And his strategy ended up putting Pat Quinlan and his men in a lot of danger and left them out there for 5 days without reinforcements. Pat Quinlan, which was quite astonishing for a man who had never actually been in battle himself but had spent a lot of time learning the theory of war, responded amazingly to it, just instantly took to it and was able to hold out for those 5 days and literally only give up at the point where they were out of water, out of food, out of bullets. Mm. And there's a line in the movie at one point where they say, "We've used every bullet twice." And it was at that point that they had to give up. And when they came back, they were treated totally, but the Irish Army itself, they were treated abysmally, and were referred to as Jadotville Jacks, which became like a term for cowardice.
So at what stage then would history have remembered this more favourably then?
Well, I think it was 2005 when they finally kind of, the whole thing became known to the public. Mm. That's when, now he himself had been dead for quite a while at that point, but his son, Leo, was the man who kind of I spoke to, who made such a passionate kind of, argument for why this was a story that needed to be told, because his father had done such amazing things and nobody had given them any credit for it whatsoever.
And it's a Netflix Irish original. Netflix really, yeah, the powerhouse, I think, at the moment in terms of TV making documentaries, some
absolutely
brilliant documentaries, and films now as well. I mean, it's a big deal for them to row in behind a project like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would have had, I mean, you know, the whole thing took about 6 years. I've been working on it since 2010. I think that without them, I'm not sure we would have actually got it done. And obviously, you know, you have the benefit of, like, we got Jamie just before he kind of became a big star.
This is Jamie Dornan of Jamie Fifty Dornan, Shades of Grey in the Fall, which currently is airing now as well, of course.
Yeah, and if you, there's no better man to do a Kerry accent if you want one.
And he's a big fan of Donegal. You're from Donegal
indeed,
there as well.
Yeah. He comes here every year.
Yeah. Conor Quinlan's another cast member. He's related to Pat Quinlan. It's a very Irish thing, is it, because we're so tight-knit, or...?
No, sorry. Literally, the thing was, he went in and he won the part himself. Like, he's just a very good actor.
No, but my point being is that, you know, it goes to show that that connection threw itself up, by coincidence, if you know what I mean. It goes to show
completely
how small we are in a way, too, how the degrees of separation are so...
Yeah. It's kind of like 2 degrees of separation rather than six.
Yeah, indeed. And another thing, too, about the Netflix thing, and I'm not here to promote Netflix, but, you know, there was a time maybe if a film was made specifically for TV or if it was made specifically to go straight out to DVD, you know, it may not have the same level of production that Netflix have, and they build it up and they flag it to their audience, and it is almost like going to a big cinema premiere in your own home.
Yeah, I mean, and luckily, I mean, you know, they were decent enough to give us a proper cinema release in Ireland, and it's playing at a theatre near you right now. But, I mean, on October 7th, it'll be on Netflix itself, and suddenly, you know, 83 million people have the opportunity to hear about this story, and I think what probably interested me and what probably interested them was the idea. It's an underdog story at the end of the day. It's a story that's universal, and anybody can identify with the idea of facing these insurmountable odds and somehow watching a man, you know, come up with the stuff, you know, come the hour, come the man. And that's what Pat Quinlan was. He was the man for the hour.
Did you feel a sense of responsibility in how you told this story? Because you have many considerations. But one of the considerations, too, is to, you know, it interested you and you wanted to relate what these men went through, as well as all the other boxes you have to tick about character development and all that type of stuff. Did you have a sense of responsibility or feel a sense of responsibility?
There was a huge sense of responsibility. And I mean, when you look at the film itself, you'll see, like, you know, that Jamie's character is obviously the lead character, but there's about six or seven other supporting characters that acted with extreme bravery and, like, basically learnt on the job, which was being shot at. And, you know, unfortunately, I had to do things like, you know, condense three or four different characters into each one of them, because you just can't track, you can't follow 20 different people unless you're doing it in a miniseries or something.
It's got miniseries written all over it too. Was that a consideration at one point at all?
It's funny, it was actually brought up by another Irish director who was interested in doing it as a miniseries. But Richie Smith, who directed it, adamant that it should be a film and that it should stand out like that, and we would never have got this cast if we'd done a miniseries out of it, you know.
Yeah. What are you working on now, Kevin?
I have two other projects in development, and I suppose the next one that might come out is a remake of Fantastic Voyage that I've been working with James Cameron on.
Brilliant. Rubbing shoulders with James Cameron. It's not so bad, is it? There he is.
No,
there's James.
That'll be him shouting, yeah.
Listen, we can catch it in some certain cinemas now and then on Netflix on Friday, October 7th. Kevin, thank you very much.
This is a pleasure. I hope people enjoy the film.
I'm sure they will. That's Kevin Broadbent there, the screenwriter, Donegal-based screenwriter, down from Lahiway, indeed, of that film, which I'm very much looking forward to seeing. And such a nice fellow as well.